This is Iberian Property Insights, an initiative aimed for those who want to be updated on the Iberian real estate sector. My name is Alexander Lima. In Spain, there is a current office oversupply of 3%, which must be reconverted. Still, depending on the local councils, the change of use may not be a simple thing. To help us explore better this question, I have with me Andrés Tirado and Andrés Verral, two senior lawyers from Real Estate Law Department at Clifford Chance Spain, who will answer some tricky questions about these changes of use. Andrés, due to demographic trends, one of the most common movements is reconverting offices into residential. How stable is the current regulatory framework to conduct this reconversion?
Yeah, we would say that the legal framework affecting these changes of use is quite stable, because on one hand, it concerns aspects related to urban planning, and on the other hand, it concerns aspects related to the title of the property. Urban planning regulations tend to change very not intensively during the years, because the process is quite intense and it takes quite a lot of time to achieve the final approval of a planning regulation. So let's say that on the planning side, the legal framework is quite stable. And on the title side, the different regulations would be the Mortgage Act, the Horizontal Division Regulations, the Civil Code. And these regulations over the years have not changed drastically. So if we take into account those two main bodies of regulations, the conclusion is that the scope for the total regulations is quite stable.
Okay, perfect. So despite this trend being a little bit more recent and we are giving it more coverage right now, so it's very interesting to see that the law regime and the framework is stable. Moving to the case of Madrid, for example, I recall seeing an article from Clifford Chance that we could be talking about the incorporation of more than 1,000 dwellings just under this format. Andrés Tirado, is there any region where this pipeline and urgency is more expressive? And do you see any other cities where the case could be applicable?
I'm not an expert in figures, right? But I've actually read some recent studies which suggest that the number of dwellings which could be brought into the market by these offices reconversion is actually higher than 1,000. And obviously, we are talking about over the next few decades. As a matter of fact, this is something that has already begun in cities like Madrid, where we've seen several deals within the last few months where investors have acquired entire office buildings, aiming to convert them into residential, and also some other hybrid uses, commonly known as co-living, senior living. And sticking to your question, I believe this is something that comes in handy in any city with a high residential demand, right? And of course, where there are offices which are or may be vacant in the short term. And essentially, we are of course talking about Madrid and Barcelona, the largest cities in Spain, but also about Valencia, Málaga, Bilbao, some big cities as well, which have, as of today, an important office supply, which might be vacant, at least partially, in the short term. And at the end of the day, yeah, so all these cities have an imbalance in terms of residential offer and demand. So in my opinion, everything which contributes to reduce this gap should be seen with good eyes, right? Because especially in this case, I think we will be solving two problems at the same time. On the one hand, we would have new dwellings which would be put into either the leasing or the sale market, and that at least theoretically should help lowering the prices and the rents. And on the other hand, buildings which might otherwise be emptied, they would find a new purpose in life.
Perfect. So it is clear that is an option that makes sense, and I think it's also important what you mentioned about the imbalance. There is the key. Andrés Verral, from a legal standpoint of view, what are investors' main concerns in this type of transaction? Are we talking about the mechanisms from urbanism, time, costs? What do they fear the most?
Yeah, I mean, we have discussed this issue with a few clients over the last months. Perhaps the main concern for the client is whether this change makes sense from a technical perspective. because the amount of changes that the property might undergo would be substantial. So the first point is whether this makes sense from the technical point of view. And then if we go to the legal side, the first point to consider also is whether the residential use, of course, is allowed as per the applicable regulations. Because otherwise, requiring the approval of a planning instrument or changing the current zoning framework applicable to that property is going to bring an uncertainty to the table. And on the other hand, the timing is going to dilate substantially. So let's say that from a legal point of view, the main concern would be whether the use is authorized as per the applicable regulations and whether a license to implement that use can be requested on an immediate basis. Other than that, we need to take into account other things, for example, whether the title needs to be changed, whether we need to do a horizontal division that my colleague Andres will discuss now. But let's say that from legal point of view, the main and the first concern that the client is going to have is whether that sort of use, the residential use, is authorized as per the applicable regulations and whether you can ask for a license to do those work on an immediate basis.
Trying not to go into too much technical detail, let's say that I have a building, so I'm an owner, and before undertaking a CapEx investment to reposition the assets, what kind of steps should I have in mind? Andres was already mentioning horizontal divisions. I believe licenses will probably be another one. Andres, can you enlighten us?
Sure. Of course, there are some aspects which go beyond the legal ones, right? They would essentially look into the economics. They would study whether the investment is worth the cost, because obviously the price they might get in return differs from one region and one quarter to the other. But focusing on the legal aspects, first of all, it is essential to have certainty, as Andres was saying, that the change of use is permitted from an urban planning perspective. So in cities like Madrid, local administrations, local governments have made an effort to ease up these conversions, especially in neighborhoods where residential is already the main use. So sometimes it won't be necessary to process any planning amendment, but just to apply for the corresponding works license. However, in other cases, it might be necessary to get a planning instrument approved, which will certainly delay or complicate the process. So once the owner knows that the residential use can be implemented in the building, a works license would have to be applied for, which will require that he hires the technical people to produce the relevant projects, which must be filed at the municipality. Good news here are that in Spain, licenses are regulated administrative acts, which means that the administration should grant them if the project that is presented to them complies with the applicable parameters and regulations. So license matters vary from one town to the other, but generally speaking, these regimes have become more and more flexible over the years. And this means, for example, that in most regions now, it is no longer necessary to obtain a first occupancy license once the works have been completed, but simply to file what we call a responsible declaration, una declaración responsable in Spanish, which also speeds things up quite a bit. Besides this, investors will have to consider amending the building title, declaring and registering the new works both at the land registry and the cadastre, and as the case may be, as Andres was saying, horizontally dividing the building. Then furthermore, Spanish regulations require that residential buildings have what we call the decennial insurance, which entails extra costs and also involving other agents in the process. And lastly, in terms of costs, as always, it's important to bear in mind that many of these legal actions are subject to different taxes, stamp duty, some local taxes, which are levied on construction works, etc., which may represent material amounts, which are for sure to be considered by this owner.
Some increased complexity, but for sure not a headache. And it seems that things are moving forward and getting simpler. So that's good news for the sector. Andres, we talked at the beginning about co-living, for example, as a possibility to convert an office asset. Now I'd like to ask you, is it the same to convert, for example, an office asset into rental housing or to a traditional build-to-sell model? From your experience, where does the preference from investors lies at?
I mean, going to the first question from a legal perspective and taking into account the urban planning regulations, there is not a distinction of residential use for leasing purposes or residential use for selling purposes. So let's say that if you want to do a residential building, either if you want to sell it or you want to lease the units, the application for the license is not going to change. Taking that into account, if you intend to sell the units, you will of course require to amend the title. And where before you had a sole property, now you need to have a specific property for each plot, for each flat that you intend to sell. So let's say that the main distinction between build to sell or build to rent would lie on the configuration of the title. Because if you intend to lease the units, you can keep the title as it is. You can keep a sole property because it's not required to have a single property per flat in order to lease those units. If you want to sell the units to third parties, of course, you need to amend the title and create a condominium and a set of regulations that will regulate the rights and the obligations of the owners within that building. So I would say that's the main concern if you want to do one thing or the other. On the second question, whether the preference of the investors lies on build to sell or build to rent, I would say that is purely a financial question. It depends on the return of the investment, on when the return of the investment the client wants to obtain. This is not something that we can reply easily. During the last months, perhaps we have seen more interest in the build to lease front, but it doesn't mean that the build to sell front is no longer attractive to investors.
Perfect. From Iberian Property, we also saw that last year in 2023, besides this reconversion from offices to residential, there were also some buildings going from offices to hotels and even from hotels to student housing, for example. Andres, do you see this reconversion and flexibility as something positive for the sector? And on the other hand, are there any long-term risks that could be associated to this?
Yeah, I mean, I believe flexibility is always good, right? Especially when we're, as I said before, when we're talking about buildings which would otherwise go vacant. And so allowing the possibility to have new uses implemented in a changing environment as the one of today, I believe that's positive. And legal frameworks which are not that flexible, they usually are found by investors quite unattractive. So I believe it's in the benefit of everyone. And yes, we've also seen those projects you mentioned. We've seen reconversion of all kind of assets. More recently, it is true that we're seeing more into residential because of the high demand, and also because investors are finding this residential market quite attractive for their investments. But yeah, it in fact, we're based in Madrid. We know better the regulations and news concerning Madrid City. Quite recently, the local council in Madrid have amended the local regulations, and they have eased up the implementation of this what I was referring to as hybrid uses. So right now, the residential use is not like the pure one, but also, as you said, student housing, senior living, co-living. So yeah, I mean, I think this is good for everyone. It's definitely good for people who are looking for a dwelling, because hopefully it will help lowering the prices. It is good for construction companies will be hired to refurbish buildings, and it is good for administrations, right? As we were saying, they will get paid many taxes, and that's good for society in general. So I think it's good. And in terms of risks, well, no one has the crystal ball here. I believe it is quite accepted nowadays that remote working is here to stay. And I personally don't see people going back to the office in mass, at least in the short term. So I don't think the demand for office spaces, at least in cities like Madrid or Barcelona, will increase substantially over the years. So I don't see that as a risk. Perhaps what the administrations might see as a risk is having areas of a city with a sole use, which might be residential, for example. So they might try to avoid not having a mix of uses in the different areas of the cities. In fact, in Madrid, planning instruments usually foresee like a maximum number of dwellings, which might operate as a limitation for this building's reconversion. But other than that, I don't see any particular risk associated to these reconversions.
Perfect. So I understood it also almost like a win-win situation when exactly. Investors can make it work with their returns. And besides that recent amendments, for example, very interesting also what you mentioned about the quotas limitations on certain uses. Besides those amendments to make things simpler and easier, are there any other legal and tax updates that we might have left out and that could be important for investors?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, we all heard the expectations of community of Madrid to approve a regulation that would allow the change of use from office to or tertiary use to residential for a term of 2 years. Let's see how this implements in reality, because usually urban planning regulations obey to specific principles, economic principles, demographic principles, economic principles, and that change from one thing to another, I don't think would be that easy, because let's see how they justify it in reality. But I think it's good that governments realize about the necessity of giving new life to spaces that have been obsolete over the time. And maybe this measure, I don't know how it will be implemented in the future, but I think that the interest of the governments to promote this sort of actions to allow for those uses and to those reconversion is really positive.
Perfect. It was a pleasure to welcome you both in this podcast. Very interesting discussion. I hope you also enjoyed it.
Yes.
This was Iberian Property Insights, powered by Grupo Iberino.